Blog Talk Radio.
This is Keisha River Shorty. I'm one of the guests that's on with Miss Daphne this morning. And we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, as you can see. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about and the purpose of her show, the purpose of her show is to actually empower and inspire people through her show. So we're looking forward to a great show this morning. She's working on getting the chat room up. She's been having some technical difficulties with the with her connection. So I'm hoping that we're able to still be on live and everyone is able to hear us okay. But I'm going to go ahead and get started. I know she's going to come back on and have a little bit of housekeeping that she'll need to do with you. But my name is Keisha River Shorty, and I actually met Dr. Daphne a few days ago via Facebook and had a chance to talk to her about what I was doing. And pretty much what I'm about is I'm a mother of five dogs, you might want to call it, and I am an entrepreneur. I have my own consulting business called the Cars Consulting Group, and I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, went to University of Pennsylvania, and I have a group and an organization that pretty much focuses on empowering, inspiring, educating, and motivating people who want to start their own business or organization to basically help you to achieve your dreams. But not only that, through my consulting company, what I try to do is give you the tools, tips, and the resources that you're going to need. I am a former grant writer. I've been a grant writer for 15 years. I am also a former teacher. I've been a teacher. I taught everything from elementary school to college age as an adjunct. And I had the distinct, I call it awakening, to have actually gone through and experienced Hurricane Katrina when I lived in New Orleans back in 2005. And that experience is one that has truly made me who I am today. And it's the cause for and the catalyst for why I do what I do. My consulting business was one that I launched in back in 2005 when I lived in New Orleans. And it was primarily because I wanted to go out on my own. And most times when I counsel people who want to start their own business or their own organization, I tell them that one of the things they need is to believe in themselves, and they need kind of a plan of action of how they're going to get into this. Me, on the other hand, I did it the hard way. I came back one day and decided that I just couldn't take it anymore, and I was going to quit my job and then figure out what I was going to do from there. So that began my journey into being an entrepreneur. I had worked for other people since I was 15 years old and found that, you know, that was the only thing that I knew. So I understand the fear and the uncertainty that people go through when they're trying to make that decision to actually become an entrepreneur. And there are many paths to it and many ways of doing it. And part of my purpose is to help inspire you, to educate you, to keep you moving along the path to achieve your dream, because not everyone gets there at the same time, not everyone gets there at the same pace, and not everyone takes the same path. So, again, Dr. Daphne, if you're tuning in late, Dr. Daphne's having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're waiting for her to come back on. I'm this morning's guest, Keisha Rivers Shorty of the CARS Consulting Group. If you want to call in, you can do so at 646-915-8166, and she's going to get back on shortly and be able to provide you with getting the chat room up so that you can ask me some questions. But in the meantime, I'm going to continue to tell you a little bit more about me and what it is that I do and why I'm here, and you know, give you some information that I hope will inspire you and educate you and assist you with helping you to achieve your life's dream and your life's work to empower, inspire, and be of service. So as I was saying, I grew up in South Carolina, and I've always been a person of first, the first person to try to do something that's outside of my comfort level, mainly because I wanted something more. I wanted something that was different. And I think the defining moment, one of the major defining moments in my life, was being in Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, where I was actually there. And, you know, if people saw the footage, you saw that, you know, you had a number of people that were on the roof and getting airlifted out, and of course I was one of them. And when I was sitting there, I was actually there for about 7 days, and when I was sitting there trying to contemplate exactly what my life had meant up until that point, and what good I had actually done, and if I happened to not make it, you know, would anybody have missed me, and would I have actually made a concerted effort to make a difference? So it was at that point that I decided that my focus was going to be on using my gifts and my talents in a way that I could help to inspire other people, educate other people, and help to provide them with... Hey, Dr.
Good
Daphne.
Good morning. I tell you, technology has a mind of its own. Thank you so much for being a professional. And
no,
I don't know, I don't know what you have done, but I know you did a great job. Did you?
I just tried to hold down the fort. I started telling them just a little bit about myself. So
awesome. Amazing. So continue introducing yourself, and I'm just tell them about the beginning of your story.
And one of the things I was actually just telling them is that I have had the defining moment. I mean, everyone comes upon a defining moment in their lives. Some of them because it's a life change. Some of them because, you know, you may have a loss or a death in your family or a job change or a situation change. And for me, I think my largest defining moment is during 2005 when I was actually in New Orleans at the time of Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
And we were at home at the time, and a lot of people, they always ask me, well, why didn't you leave? And, you know, keep in mind that New Orleans is a city where we were always having hurricane warnings. We always had, you know, some type of threat because of where we lived.
Yes.
And there wasn't that major state of emergency that was felt elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had 5 adopted dogs and a cat at the time. And because that's what we do, we adopt animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I had actually, a client of mine was scheduling a grand opening, and we were still planning a grand opening.
Yes.
And the weather
yes.
was perfect. Everything was seemed to be fine. And by the time we got word that we needed to evacuate, the roads were completely clogged. There was really no way of getting out because if you tried to leave, you sat on the interstate and ran out of gas.
Mm.
And our house was in an area that did not usually flood when it rained. We were 5 feet off the ground, but we were also about a mile and a half away from the levees.
Mm.
And so during the storm, you know, we got our provisions, we boarded up, and that morning my cousin called me from Chicago, woke me up, and said, you know, he's watching the news, he's watching the storm. Please tell me you've evacuated, is what he said. And I told him, well, I could tell you that, but I'd be lying because we're still here. And literally, I took 2 more phone calls, one from my mother, who lives in Charleston, South Carolina, where I grew up, and one from my father-in-law, who was also in New Orleans in a different part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them we were okay, and I literally hung up the phone, and my husband looked down and said, is that water coming in under the door?
Wow.
And I looked at it, and he ran to the dining room, climbed up on top of the chair to peek out of the top of the window that we had boarded up.
Yes.
And he wouldn't let me see what was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he just screamed at me, grab the dogs, get in the attic, let's go. And we only had enough time to grab a duffel bag that we used with a weekend bag with a had a change of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We grabbed a gallon bottle of water. We grabbed our computer. And then we started grabbing our dogs and putting them up in the attic. And literally in 7 minutes, the water was chest high in the house. So we managed to get into the attic, get the dogs up, which dogs do not like going into the attic. They do not like the fact that there is no, our attic wasn't finished.
Mm-hmm.
So they grope around in the dark and end up falling back through, you know, the pieces of the ceiling.
Yes.
And so our major thing was to try to get them up, keep them contained, keep them calm. We managed to get up into the attic and just watch the water rise and listen to the storm raging outside and listen to the people screaming around you. And, I mean, that's a moment where it was just surreal. You can't imagine being there and having all of this chaos going on around you and listening to people as they're awakened by rushing water coming into the bed. And, you know, as we're sitting there and the wind is howling and things are scraping against the roof and, you know, our attic is enclosed and I'm trying to figure out where are we going to go? Because if the water rises up, there's no exit. There's no window. There's no nothing. And, you know, I probably weigh about 140 pounds soaking wet. And I would sit there, and I had my arms wrapped around the rafters of the roof. And I would look out, and every so often a gust of wind would come, and you could see the corner of the roof across from you lift up ever so slightly. And I have my arms wrapped around this rafter beam, and I'm sitting there, and I'm pulling down with all my weight, and I'm just praying, and I'm going, please hold, just hold, just hold. And I concentrated on that for what seemed like hours.
Yes.
And, you know, after the storm was over, we were out there. We managed to chip a hole through to get onto the roof after everything subsided.
Mm-hmm.
And we were between a roof, and we had a guy from the neighborhood who a boat floated up to his doorstep, And he used it to go around and rescue people, you know, off the roofs. And so we ended up on our roof for 3 days. And then we ended up at a nearby school for another 4 days. So altogether we were there for stranded for 7 days. And it was an experience that made me realize that, you know, if I was to leave, if something was to happen and I didn't make it, you know, what type of impact would I have made? What did I leave
what
behind?
What legacy? You know, Keisha, I listened to you and when you said different people asked why to leave, and immediately what came to my mind is domestic abuse, because people, we who are on the outside and we are not inside, we always say, why don't that lady leave? But it's not as easy to leave as we take it. And it's the same thing with the disaster, because you're looking on all your animals. You know, how am I going to leave? Where am I going to go with them? And by the time you get to figure it out, everything kind of got out of control.
Yeah.
You know?
And it just, it was a matter of there, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of people in New Orleans could not leave, because New Orleans was a city where you didn't have to have a car to get around.
Exactly.
So there's a huge population of people that did not have transportation to leave. They didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't
have
the means to go.
Leave
and
go where, you know?
Right. And, you know, they didn't have the money or anything else. And it's just one of those situations you find yourself in, and everybody can say, you know, 2020 is hindsight.
Yeah, please.
You know, hindsight is 2020. You know, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that?
Who are you to be pointing fingers and blaming? Because some of the people who are blaming has never been to New Orleans. They don't know what it is like. But the same thing comes to my mind about where I grew up in Jamaica, West Indies. If that were to happen and we are telling the people in the district to leave, the question becomes, leave to go where? Because that's all they know. Their mode of transportation is either a donkey or they walk, or if they have to go very far, they take the bus that passes through certain times. It's not an everyday. So the question becomes, leave to go where and to whom?
Exactly.
You know, so we need to be very careful in times of disaster what we say and how we say it, because a lot of times people just say things for want of saying something without realizing what they're saying really, and putting more hurt and damage into people's lives and people's situation. And the one thing I can say to kind of wind this section up so we can fast forward to the other richness of your story was that I'm thankful that God spared your life in order to really step into and to harness the other portion of the legacy that he created Keisha to do. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that you are doing what you were called to do. And last night we had a brief conversation about who you are and some of your accomplishments that you have accomplished in your earlier years, and now you are like on your third leg. So let us like summarize here. The disaster has birthed something in you. Did you tell them about you being a teacher and all of that before I took back?
Not completely. I touched on it briefly, but I was a teacher for a number of years, over 10 years. Once a teacher, always a teacher. And I taught everything from elementary school, special ed, gifted ed, to adults with being an adjunct instructor at a university. And I've always had this innate desire to teach people. And that's the philosophy of what I do with my consulting company, because I really believe that information is static. There's a lot of information out there that people don't know what to do with. But knowledge is dynamic. And until you take information and do something with it, then you don't have any knowledge. So what I try to do is, I call it my teach a man to fish philosophy. I mean, you've heard of it. You give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach him to fish, he eats for a lifetime.
I
kind of added a twist to it by saying that I not only want to teach you to fish, but I want to give you some spices. I want to give you some recipes.
That's
I want to give you some
so you
tools
can...
so that you can cook and you can make it taste great and you can make it your own, but
that's
also that you can invite other people and teach them as well.
That's right. Instead of making fried fish, you can make baked fish. You can make fish casserole. You can you can verify that thing, and you can, you know, let it work. So I am just so thankful that you are doing just that. And as you rightfully say, once a teacher, always a teacher. You're not going to change that. It's like nursing. Once you are a nurse, it never changes. You know, you're always going to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let us deal on what you have created to help people to fish, and then we want to segue into the event that you have coming up very soon. But let's talk about CARS Consulting and what you do.
At the CARS Consulting Group, what we do is we're a consulting company that specializes in working with small businesses and organizations. In a nutshell, I tell people, I help you look good and sound good. I help you harness the art, science, and psychology of communication, both style and substance. Because in a lot of times, what people need to understand is it's not just what you do or what your passion is or what you want to do, it's how you do it. It's how you communicate it. It's how you put your thoughts on paper. It's how you put your business plan together. It's how you decide to write a grant proposal. It's how you take your idea for an organization and write it up in such a way so that you can get a grant or you can get volunteers or you can get sponsors or supporters. And, it's the way that you communicate what it is that you do that compels people to action, either to support you or to buy from you or to come on board and share information about you. And you don't want to just convey information. A lot of times when I talk to people, they'll try to tell me what they do. They'll try to tell me what they're about. And they just give me a statement. They don't give me any semblance of who they are or, because being an entrepreneur or being someone who runs a small business or runs an organization or a founder of an organization, who you are is innately tied to what you do.
Exactly.
And with the CARS Consulting Group, you know, CARS, K-A-R-S, stands for Knowledge Always Reigns Supreme. It also is the acronym for my name, Keisha Annette River Shorty. And, you know, what we do is it's all about personality. It's all about getting to know people. All of my clients I consider to be family members. I get to know them. I get to find out what they're doing. And I've been blessed with a number of experiences and trainings and tools and resources. I mean, I was the executive director of a private foundation for years. I did trainings. I did grant writing. I worked with corporations. I was a marketing major and went to one of the top business schools in the country. And I was able to take that. And what I wanted to do was CARS Consulting exists to help the small company. I want the person who is currently working two jobs and trying to figure out how they're going to take the gift and what they really want to do and make that a reality. I want to assist the person and teach the person who maybe has never had the opportunity to run a business or to start an organization but has a passion for it. I want to teach you how to do it the right way so that you can be successful, because if you're successful and I'm able to teach you, then you're able to go out and reach 100 or more people because of who you touch.
Exactly. And one of the things that is so missing in the entrepreneurial arena, in many of the entrepreneurial arena, is that as first, a lot of people who have a small business and are even using the term entrepreneurs are really not entrepreneurs because they don't understand what entrepreneurship is.
Right.
And as, you know, one gentleman, he's the author of the E-Myth, Michael Gerber, puts it, a lot of people who are saying they are entrepreneurs are really not. They are just somebody who created a job for themselves. that they're going. And that's where, you know, you come in, I come in with the things that I do to really bring some light into entrepreneurship. Because as an entrepreneur, whatever we are doing, we should have a viable exit strategy in place so that if for any reason we are no longer here, our family should not be suffering, because it should be so set up in a way that it's a legacy that is created to be left for them to enhance their lives. And they should so be trained that they can create it too for their children's children. So what you are doing is well needed. I commend you on that, Keisha. And
thank you.
Thankful that you have committed your life to that. I want to remind people that you can call in. The chat room is now open. And you can call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I'm on with Keisha Rivers. And Keisha is the CEO and founder of Cars Consulting. So, Keisha, you have a new program that is coming up. You want to talk about what gave birth to that program and mention what it is and just break it down for the people, please.
Yes, I am undertaking a tour, what I call my real world theater and pizza party tour, which is basically I'm going to a variety of cities to conduct what I call a day of empowerment. And what I want to do is to touch communities one city at a time, one day at a time. And what I'm trying to do throughout this tour is to bring in a series of a series of mini conferences that I do. One is specifically geared towards women, which is called my Women's Empowerment Series, and the other one I have is a Community Empowerment Series. And for each one of those, what I do is it's a three-hour session, and it talks about I do it in three acts because I'm a performing artist by nature. As if you grew up and you're a teacher, you have to learn how to actually entertain kids.
That's right. So, or else you lose them.
It completely. And I find that what I teach people is I have Act 1, which is the art of the proposal, how you actually pull together information and put it together in a business plan, in a grant proposal, in a partnership plan, in a sponsorship proposal. How do you communicate your message in order to get the results and the support you want? And then Act 2 is the real world, is perception versus reality. There's a difference between... Yes.
Keisha? Can you hold before you go into Act 3? We have caller, and I want to entertain that now. Would you please hold?
Yes.
Caller, good morning. Your first three digits are 704. Do you have a question?
No, I don't have a question necessarily. This is Carol Sankar. Hi, Keisha. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Carol? Thanks for joining us.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. I told you I'll be here. How are you? I'm just here for moral support. I love Keisha.
Okay.
I love her story. I love where she goes with things. Congrats.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And please don't let this be the first time you come to the show.
Will not.
Go to the site, mark it as favorite, and we would love to have you come back. Okay, so
I would love to be back.
Okay, I'll just take you off the air, but you are free to listen in. Go ahead, Keisha.
And for Act 2, when we talk about perception versus reality, a lot of times people are wondering, they're like, okay, I've got my marketing materials, or I've got these flyers, or I've put together this website, and they think that they're putting their message out there the right way. But what they're not understanding is there's a difference between what you think you're saying and what you think you're putting out there and what people are actually getting. And so we talk about the difference between perception versus reality, what people are seeing versus what you're putting out there, and how to make the two actually match up. And then Act 3 is what I call the next level. It's how to take your organization or your business to the next level. Don't always be satisfied with where you are right now. You need to have goals. You need to have objectives. And I always tell people, think big, dream big,
That's right.
Then set your benchmarks high and then go backwards and say, if I want to get to here, how do I backtrack? You know, my ultimate goal for the CARS Consulting Group is to have a national and an international organization where I get experts from a variety of different fields who are able to come in and work with people no matter where they are and what they're doing.
That's right.
So for me
to do that,
you know, I'm one woman now, you know, who's doing it, and my husband's working with me. But in order to do that, what I'm doing is setting up benchmarks. In this amount of time, I want to build people and bring people onto my team. And it's not about competition. Because that's
cooperation and collaboration.
It's a
major hindrances in our society. I think we touched on that last night, you know.
Yes.
And people are using it to block their progress.
And especially in this day and age, you cannot simply try to exist in a vacuum. You can't say,
right.
well, I'm not going to share information, or I'm not going to do this or do that, because there are so many people, there's so many opportunities. And I always tell people, there are tons of consultants.
But there's Keisha, there's only one Keisha River.
Exactly.
And there's only one Daphne Clark Hudson, you know?
Exactly.
You
have to be the best you can be.
That's it.
You will find the people that gravitate towards you because of what you do and who you are.
Exactly, because, of course, we can't serve everybody because not everybody is a match. But there are people out there. And if you know your story and know what you bring around the table, you don't have to worry about the person sitting across from you, because you did not bring them to the table. You brought yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just concentrate on that.
Exactly. And so part of what we do with this is we not only bring the tools in, but what I want this to be is it's not a typical workshop. It's not a conference or a seminar. This is an empowerment session. So when you come in, it's a working session. It's a workshop. You get information. But I want you to collaborate. So I limit the sessions to only 30 people, and I make it affordable. It's only $50. And with that, you also get a year's worth of assistance and support. And what I want you to leave with is I want you to know the other people that are in your session. I want you to have an action plan of what you need to do next. I want you to have developed a relationship with other people who can be kind of your accountability partners to help support you in your dream and in your vision and what you're trying to do. So this is a way of building a network and a collaborative group of people who are going to strive to work together to support each other. And my goal through doing this, I'm initially starting in 10 cities, and my goal in doing this is to start with those 10 cities, but then next year in 2011, I want to do a 41-city tour and ultimately connect about 5,000 women across the country to be able
Beautiful.
To network and collaborate and uplift each other.
Wonderful.
So I'm doing the tour, and then in each one of the cities I go into, I have the women's empowerment session in the morning, and then I have a community empowerment session in the evening at 4, which is open to men and women, because I was only going to service women, and then I had a number of men who said that, you know, they needed to be empowered too.
It's interesting, because I have a curriculum that I do a weekend. It's called Attending to Self Without Being Selfish, which is a 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And every time a woman attends and go back home and I see her husband or a significant other, they start complaining, why you don't think men need that thing too? Why you do it only for women? And as a matter of fact, last night I had a meeting with a gentleman, and he was talking about something that he does for men only.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he says, Dr. Daphne, he says, men got issues, you don't got to tell me, I know that. But thing is, I said that when they are in mixed company, however, I think ego gets in the way.
Exactly.
Because a lot of time I go to co-head events and the men don't get as interactive. But if you kind of linger close to them in the hallways,
yes.
When they get together as brothers, they will open up, but they don't open up much with women. So we kind of have to pull them out of their shell. But I want to piggyback on something you said earlier on. I want you to tell your husband, and maybe he's listening, that he's a smart man to be working alongside his wife.
I'll be sure to tell him that. I think I might frame that and put that on the wall.
Oh, he's a smart man. He is a smart man, you know, because there's a lot of men, the ego gets in the way, and they don't know how to support their spouses and significant others in what they are doing. And men, if your women, wives, or whomever, if you see something in them, you encourage them. You go out there and be their PR person. And ladies, if your husbands or men have the same strength, you push them instead of going and slaving for somebody else. You slave for them, because the legacy will be for both of you. So I just wanted to give that little bit of shout out to your husband.
Well, so, I appreciate that.
When you do the city tours, are you including local speakers, or how are you doing this, or all the speaking will be done by Keisha?
Well, what I am looking to do is, I know that I have a variety of things and experiences and gifts that I can bring to the table, but what I want to do is, in each one of the communities I go into, I want to connect with local community organizations and people who know that community and people who are resources in that community. Because, you know, you go to different seminars or workshops, and then when you leave, you have no one that you know who's there that you can call on or that you can go to. So what I try to do is, in each one of the cities I go into, I find different speakers, other people who can come in and lend some expertise and some insight, who can also talk about resources that are available right there in the community. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many clients that I get. I mean, I'm based in Augusta, Georgia, but I get a number of clients who are always, when I ask them about resources and tips, and I said, well, wait, did you call this office in your city or did you call that office in your city? They have no clue about
That's
where
right.
they can go. So what I try to do is, like, for example, I'm going to be in Baltimore, and one of the things I'm doing is I have a dynamic young lady. Her name is Dr. Takima Dorsey. Her mission is to empower youth and to educate and inspire youth. And she has kids of her own, and she's got her own consulting group, and she's got her own radio show, and she's doing a number of things to actually create a year-long youth empowerment retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to have her come in and talk to us about, you know, what her struggles are and what her issues are and what she's learned as an entrepreneur. And then I have someone else who is just getting started as an entrepreneur, who she has a young kids, so she's working part-time in her endeavor. And she wants to come in and share her stories. But I'm also having members of the media who are going to come in and talk to them about, you know, how do you get your story out? How do you get your message across? How do you get covered where you don't have to buy advertising?
That's right.
Then I want to have a representative from the mayor's office of Women's and Minority Business Affairs. I want to have someone from the Small Business Development Center, not to just come in and give a long list of, you know, these are the things you should and shouldn't do, but I want them to introduce their services, their agency, what they do, but also give some personal experience to what they do so that people can connect. And once we're physically gone, I want the collaboration within the communities and the connection within the communities to grow.
And so to continue.
Exactly. So that next year we can set up an actual community-wide day of empowerment for the entire community and have opportunities for people to be able to network and to volunteer and to support each other and to participate in summits and things of that nature. So it's a kind of a springboard. I'm starting with a smaller group now and branching off. And I'm also taking, for every 2 weeks that I'm on tour, every 10 days that I'm on tour, I'm taking a portion of the proceeds from the tour to create my own empowerment grants. And so I'll have a $5,000 empowerment grant that people who attend a session of the tour are able to apply for. And, you know, you don't have to have been in business for X number of years, and you don't have to have been an established nonprofit for X number of years. This is designed for you to get some initial support for what it is that you're trying to do, whether it's to expand an existing business or organization or to start one. Mm-hmm. So I ask people to join in and to come in and be prepared to and be open to learning. And part of the reason I call it a pizza party tour is, you know, one, I love pizza. And two, if you're in a session and you're sitting around eating pizza with the other people, there's only so stuffy you're going to be. There's only so reserved you're going to be. You're going to kind of let your hair down. You're going to share. You're going to interact a lot more if you're doing that as opposed mm-hmm. to if you came to a formal luncheon or a mm-hmm. formal conference setting.
Food gets it every time, huh?
Exactly. And, you know, the type of food you put in front of you sets mm-hmm. the stage for what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tell people it's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. It's not going to be designed for you just to sit there and receive. I want you to share, because until you share the information and the knowledge that you have and connect with everyone else, everyone learns from everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to take that and we're able to make ourselves better. So, you know, I'm excited about it, and I've gotten a number of local entrepreneurs and people that I have spoken to, because I'm pretty much a one-woman show when it comes to promoting it and sharing it. And I just tell people, I want you to register because we're about to go out on the road, and we'll be leaving in about 2 or 3 weeks. So they can go to my website at carsconsultinggroup.com. That's K-A-R-S, consultinggroup.com. Or they can call me at 866-224-1285, mm-hmm. and they can provide, I can, you know, give them some insight, some information, but they can register for the conference. And immediately when they register for a tour session, I immediately start working with them, you mm-hmm. know, talking to them about what they're doing, what their dreams are, where they are, and mm-hmm. start giving them some tools so that when they come to the session, mm-hmm. they're prepared to actually right. work and get something out of it and walk away with something that mm-hmm. they can use.
Right, and there's also I should have wrote that down and I didn't. There's also a special link on the radio site that people can register if they are listeners mm-hmm. to the show. There's a special link they can click on and it will take them directly to the registration. So let's go over the dates. You are going to be in the different cities, and if mm-hmm. you want to tell people the location that it's going to be at.
Okay. We're going to start in Atlanta, Georgia, on November the 8th, and we're basically going to be one day in each city. So I'm starting in Atlanta, then I'm going to Charleston, South Carolina, then Charlotte, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, and then Richmond, Virginia on November the 12th. And then on November the 15th, I'll be in Washington, D.C., Baltimore on November 16th, Philly, Philadelphia on November 17th, New Jersey, November 18th, and New York on November 19th. And I'm setting these up. Some of them are hosted at local colleges. Most of them are hosted at local hotels. Mm-hmm. And there is no registration on the day of the event.
Right.
And so you need to register either by going to the website for Dr. Daphne and being able to click on the registration link to be able to sign up. And we will close registration about a week or two before, because
you go to that city.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. We want to make sure that people register in advance so that you can get the information you need, as well as the tools and the information and the tips to get started, and you're
right.
prepared,
mm-hmm.
you know, to know exactly what it is that we're going to be doing. Plus, it allows you to take advantage of some other support systems as well, because I do a series of webinars that mm-hmm. I've been doing, and if you register for the pizza party tour, you're able to attend 3 of the webinar sessions at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it gives you immediate access to resources.
Yeah, because our people like to leave things for the last minute. So this
mm-hmm.
is one time when you can't do that. You need to take action and be in the front row
mm-hmm.
so that you can get everything that this this event will entitle you to. And tell somebody about it. Don't be going to register by yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage somebody else to register and to take advantage, because what she's offering, if you should engage her services as a private consultant, you would really have to take your checkbook out and your card. So, and here for just a mustard seed of what it would normally cost. You are getting all mm-hmm. this wealth of information. The grant writing workshop alone, mm-hmm. people know that if they go to places to get that, it's going to cost them a lot of money. So I want people to understand the advantage of what you are bringing to them.
Mm-hmm. And part of, you know, I get a lot of people who say, well, you know, why is it that you're doing it at such a low cost? And I did it that way because I didn't want money to be a barrier. I didn't want people to say, well, I couldn't take advantage of this because I couldn't afford it.
Yes.
You know, this is one of the things where, if you're really serious about what you're trying to do, then you need to step out and to be able to participate in something like this. But our main thing is we don't want to have anyone excluded. So
right.
a number of the things that I do, you know, the CARS Consulting Group, our whole philosophy is we try to make it affordable. We'll work mm-hmm. with you, but at the same time, we want you to understand, we want you to take that and do something with it. We
yeah, because, you know, it's a shame that it doesn't matter how you make things affordable for people. People oftentimes find a reason not to utilize it. Because I know one of the behaviors around something that is economical, first thing come to mind, people say, oh, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, why don't you try it
exactly.
for the low cost and make your decision before you say it's not good because of the price. So it's a shame that people let things like that get into their ways. But I want to encourage them not to let cost of what is happening get in your way. If you have to borrow the money to go on, and we know although it is very economical, there are still some people who will say, oh, I couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let me come for free? No, you can't go for free. Find somebody who will give you the money because you have enough time, even if you have to sell some empty water bottles. I tell you, Keisha, for years, I was giving away my empty water bottles to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I left them out for him the other day, and he didn't come. And I was tired of seeing them out there. So I put them in my car, and I went down to Costco's to change them. It took me a while to put them in, but I got $14. I said, good heavens. So people have no excuse now. You have enough time. That even if you have to pick up empty cans and bottles and collect the deposit on them, you'll be able to make, what, the $15 or whatever it costs
mm-hmm.
in order to go there. But next year, this time, you will have a story to share with others about prior to you attending this real theater pizza party.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting this opportunity to create your own story so that you can be the one telling your story next year, this time when you're on the show. You can say, well, prior to that, this is what I used to do, and this is what it has helped me to acquire. So I just encourage people to go out there and make something happen for them.
Yeah,
they
and that's the purpose
action.
Of it. Exactly. You have to do something with it, and you can't just say, I want to, I want to, I want to. If you have the tools there, if you have the resources there, you need to take advantage of it. And, you know, it's like you say, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But you need to take advantage of the opportunities that are out there and what people are providing for you in order to actually make that difference and make your dream come true. Nobody's going to give it to you. You know, you really have to seize the moment and to seize the opportunity if that's what in fact you want to do.
Keisha?
Yes.
Oh, Skype is really acting ugly this morning, I'm telling you. We have to bless it and release it. So I want you to, we'll continue in conversation until my other guest calls in.
Okay.
But I want you to please begin to kind of summarize what you want to leave the listeners with.
Pretty much what I always in endeavor to do is hopefully by hearing the story of how I came to be what I came to do what I do right now, mm-hmm. that someone will look at where they are and realize that you can, as long as you take some steps. And I always tell people, you know, doing what I did in terms of the way I got into entrepreneurship was basically I got fed up with my job and quit. There was no segue. there was no plan. Yeah,
oh,
it was I am tired of this. So this is what you can do with this job. And I had been someone who had always been programmed to work for someone else, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There are different people that are put here for different purposes.
That's
but
right.
Whatever you desire to do, you need to educate yourself. You need to acquire more information, more knowledge. Take advantage of additional training because you never know where it will lead. I was going to be a marketing person, and I started in business. You know, I was going to, you know, I had my plans already. I was going to move to Spain and, you know, work with computers, and, you know, I was good. Mm-hmm. And then I took a elective course in teaching children's literature, and I had that moment of seeing someone understand something for the first time.
Wow.
And really making that impact of saying, because of what I did, this person is now able to do this.
Yes.
And so that became my passion of always wanting to teach people how to do new things. I've always been very inquisitive. But
wonderful.
What I want our listeners to take from this is you don't have to do it all in one fell swoop. You don't always have to do it, you know, just like everyone else. But you do have to do something.
Do something.
And
action.
Exactly. And take these steps. And, you know, the resources that I provide, you know, via my website, I have a whole section on my website that just provides free information.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, tutorials on there. There's videos on there. There's links to other sites. I do Startup 101 webinars that are free, you know, for an hour if you want to know whatever you want to know and whatever you need to consider about starting a business or getting your dream off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no excuse to not do it. And you need to just take it one step at a time, develop a plan for yourself, and then follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, what that will enable you to do is to feel like you're making some progress and to always have that alternative of, okay, this is what I'm going to do. In case, because, you know, as we found out with the way the economy went, you had numbers of people that had been on jobs for years who all of a sudden they walked in the next day and there was no job. So, you know, what do you have that's a backup? What do you have set up?
That's
so,
right.
You know,
that's
I want them to take from this, and that's why I call it a day of empowerment, because if you feel that fundamentally you have options, then you are empowered. Because you are not hitching your wagon to just one thing, and you are not putting all of your eggs in one basket,
and you are
not leaving your destiny up to the whims of someone else.
Of someone else, exactly. And that's why each and every one of us need to be so bold in the life that we live, because we are leaving too much to happenstance, and, you know, we get into the blame game and the finger pointing instead of taking control of the life that you have, because we were all dealt a pack of cards when we came into this world.
Exactly.
And all I need to do is to play my deck to the best of that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happens that as you play your deck, Keisha, I play mine, and a lot of times we can kind of add value to what each other is doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we are able to enhance and empower the rest of this world. But don't just sit back and say, oh, well, or the government must do this and government must do that. No, you got to take action, because I know that the world's economy the great turnaround is going to be brought to the forefront through entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we have 5 minutes remaining in this segment. And as I mentioned, Keisha, we can still continue until my other guest call in. He's going to be calling in from Denver, Colorado. And I'll wait on him to call in. So we will just continue. I wanted to once again give out your contact information. And it's interesting, you live in Augusta, Georgia. This, I was supposed to speak at the Golf Fest this year in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, great.
And then, it went by and they postponed it. I guess the lady said she didn't get all the corporate dollars she was looking for. So I'm hoping next year to be in your city. I've never been to Augusta. Yes, never been. So please give the information out and the dates again when you're going to be in which city, Keisha.
They can actually reach me by they can call me at 866-224-1285. That's 866-224-1285. Or they can visit my website at carsconsultinggroup.com, and that's K-A-R-S consultinggroup.com. They can find me on Facebook under Keisha Rivers Shorty, and I will be launching my tour in the second week of November. So I'll start out in Atlanta on November 8th, and I'll be in Charleston, Charlotte, Raleigh, Richmond, Virginia. I'll be in D.C. on November the 15th, Baltimore on November the 16th, and then in Philadelphia on the 17th, New Jersey on the 18th, and New York on the 19th. So you can contact me for more information. You can give me a call, send me an email message or a Facebook message. And then there's also a link where people can register for the tour and the sessions on the website for your radio show as well. And the great thing about it is we have a kind of a little promotional video that's floating around that we did, which gives you a little sneak peek into exactly what it is that you can expect. And, you know, it's designed in a way that's funny, that's entertaining, that's interactive, because what we want you to know is that you're going to get a lot of information, a lot of resources, but you're going to get things that you can use.
I love that video. We need to get that up on the Empowerment Institute site.
Yeah, I'll send you the link for it, definitely.
Yeah, I get to put it out. I was cracking up when I watched that.
And it's all
you
about
are
having
so,
fun.
You, exactly. You are so talented. I say, you go, girl. Because at the time I said, go, girl, I didn't know you were a woman, Keisha. I thought you were a teenager. Oh, but I had so much fun. I clicked on it and I went back and I watched it, and that is what it's all about. Because can you imagine if you had not acquired all the training and experience that you now have, the quality of what you're presenting, you would not be able to do that because you wouldn't have the skills to do it.
Exactly.
And a lot of times when you look to hire somebody to do the things that are passionate to you, most times they really don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed it, and I think we need to put that up on that side so people can have some fun and laugh and lighten up. So what I want to do, because we here at the A New Day Radio, we are partnering with Cars Consulting on these city tours, and what we want to have you do, Keisha, is to, after you complete each city, I would like for you to come back and tell us how that went and what people need to look for moving in the next one. So we will work out a schedule on how to do that.
Okay, that would be great, because I think that is the more information that we can bring to people and kind of give them a glimpse of what's going on and everything, the more that they'll be inspired to come in and know what to expect.
Right, because even if it's It doesn't need to be like when we do the regular airing on a Wednesday. We can set up a special time to keep people informed about what happened there at the at each pizza party at the city. So we'll talk about that and work out the details around that.
Okay.
So I'm waiting on Jeffrey to call in from Colorado. So I'll give you an opportunity to just free flow and, you know, whatever you want to say until Mr. Jeffrey call in.
Okay.
Keisha, if there's anything else you want to say that I didn't get you to say.
Well, we actually have, there's another thing that I just launched, and with the pizza party tour, and you know, there's a low cost way for people to get basically almost a half day conference at only $50, and then there are free resources on my website. But I'm also launching what I call a special, I call it the $10 webinar series. And you go on to webinars a lot of times, and a lot of people want to participate in them and want to take advantage, but again, they're too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we came up with a series of webinars that I'll be doing for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, got the idea because I wanted to, and I was getting in the holiday spirit once I realized that the year was almost over.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, people, when it comes to holiday time, they have to decide what they're going to spend their money on. And so I said, you know what, if you want to learn how to write a grant proposal, you should be able to do it. So I'm going to teach you in an hour what you need to know, only
$10. Keisha, I want to say something quickly. I'm sure you know about Jim Rohn.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of the daddy of entrepreneurship. I don't know if you have read or listened to any of his work. And it came to my mind when you said it was expensive. He said when he began working with a mentor, and he used to say everything was expensive, and his mentor said to him, Mr. Rohn, no, that's not the problem. Let's look at the same problem. It's not expensive. It's just that you can't afford it.
I love that way of putting it.
So he said, that's another way to look at it. And then all of a sudden you realize, yeah, that is the fact.
Uh-huh.
It's not expensive. I can't afford it. I don't have the money. What am I going to do to get the money? I just wanted to share that.
I'm definitely going to use that. So I'm going to have to credit you with it. I'm going to have to use that. But what I decided to do is, because I had a number of people who would contact me and said, well, I can't afford it right now, I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I provide a lot of free resources, but I'm going to provide something that anyone can afford. So you want this information, you want this knowledge, I'm meeting you halfway. I'm not going to give it all to you, but I am going to give you an opportunity to be able to get the information and the knowledge. And you can't use the, you can't say to yourself you can't afford it. You can find something that is a great resource that you're getting from someone who has a wealth of knowledge and experience. And, you know, I always tell people, if you want to know my background and everything that I've done, you know, go on my website. My bio is up there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, as we were talking about, you know, when you looked at my picture, and a lot of people say, you know, I still look the way I did in high school, which I am very thankful for. but, you know, when people look at me and when they listen to me, they look and they're kind of taken aback, and they're like, okay, you know, how long have you been doing this? You know, where did she get this? And, you know, does she really have this experience?
Mm-hmm.
But I have had so many different opportunities, and I'm trying to bring all of that and be able to share it with other people. Because, you know, I think my purpose in being here and my purpose in being able to do all of this is to help to teach people, to inspire people, to empower people, but to motivate them to be able to get done those things that they want to have done, and just to branch out and just to start, just to do something. So I'm going to give you all the tools you need, all the tips you need, and make it such that you can afford it. And, you know, everybody can afford $10 and everyone can afford free. Everybody can afford $50 if you want to. It's just a matter of prioritizing it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, I was speaking with a client of mine the other day, and I said, it always amazes me that the people that have the most expensive weaves and everything are the ones who say they can't afford a coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have anything against women looking gorgeous, but mm-hmm. I want you to begin looking gorgeous from the outside, from the inside out.
Exactly.
You know? But don't try to manipulate something that's for your personal development, and then you say you can't do that and you want something else for free. But that's a whole nother show for another time. Yes, yes. So, Akisha, he hasn't called in yet, but
okay.
I know we had agreed for you to stay such a certain time. I'm just going to play some music and get him to wait until he calls in. But we are here for you. Let us know what it is that we can do to add value and energy to what you are doing. And we just look forward for a progressive, prosperous working relationship.
Yeah, I do too. And my whole thing is I am really, really interested in just working with as many different people who are whose mission is to empower, inspire, and educate people. Because, you know, this upcoming year is going to be a major turning point.
Yes,
and,
it
you
is.
Know, people, I feel like this is the preparation time.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many different people that I'm running into and that I'm meeting, everyone who said, I've had this idea for a while, I've had this on my heart for a while to do, and now all of a sudden everyone is branching out with their own forms of empowerment, tours
mm-hmm.
or workshops or seminars or classes or things of that nature. So, you know, there's a shift. There's something that's coming.
Oh, yes.
We want to make sure that we're able to prepare people to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that are there or to make opportunities for themselves.
Right, and we don't need to be lone rangers. We
exactly.
can collaborate on things which to make an impact in the city. So I want to commend you on what you're doing, Keisha, and just encourage you to keep doing God's work.
Oh, well, thank you
and
very much. And I appreciate you having me on and us working together. I'm really looking
yes.
forward to working with you in the future as well.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. You have a blessed week, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Have
All right.
a blessed day. Bye-bye,
okay,
Keisha.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Miss Keisha Rivers from the Cars Consulting, and we are waiting on Mr. Jeffrey Reeves to call in. And while we wait, why don't we just play some music?
To be led by your staff and rod.
Okay, so that was, I was playing that music because we are waiting to hear Mr. Reeves, Mr. Jeffrey Reeves from Denver, Colorado to call in. So we haven't heard him call in yet. And what an amazing story with Keisha Rivers out of Atlanta. She's the owner of Cars Consulting, and what an amazing story. You know, I myself had listened to different people. There had been a delegation of my church that went down when they had Katrina, and they went down there to minister to the people and to help to do some rebuilding and that. And it was such an impacting story and feedback when they come back and to tell us about what the people encounter. But to listen to Keisha and what she mentioned about what was happening to her there and her family while they were still there, you know, tears came to my eyes. And you know, a lot of times we are on the outside looking in and, you know, we say things like, why don't they move and why did they stay? But, you know, like she mentioned, a lot of people living in New Orleans at the time, they didn't have cars. They didn't have any means of transportation. And where were you going to leave to go? So I'm thankful that during that devastation that she got an aha moment, and she has turned that aha moment around to help other entrepreneurs give birth to that calling that God has blessed them with and to have them do what they were called to do. So we never know what happens out of our we never know what happens out of our tragedy, you know? So we are so thankful to her for calling up, for sharing her story with us. And I'm going to try and text Jeff JR. So in the meantime, just listen to this song.
Let angels prostrate fall.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's some nice music, you know. I have to get a wider selection of music up here on the site. I just text my guest, so I don't know. I don't know what time is it, 8 o'clock in Denver or something, so I guess he overslept. So we have 42 minutes remaining, JR. So we hope that you call us in and so we can have a good show, because he has such a new insight and powerful knowledge about some of the practices and trends that entrepreneurs need to utilize. So while I wait for JR, I want to just tell you, my listeners, that I'm in the process of recruiting people for my first dreaming room here in Connecticut. And I have only 9 vacancies. 9 spaces is what I have. So I encourage you to call me at or send me an email at daphne@clarkhudson.com to reserve your space, and I can give you additional information about how to get into the Dreaming Room. And you know, the Dreaming Room is a legacy which is created by Michael E. Gerber. Michael is the author of The E-Myth, and he's also the author of Awaken the Entrepreneur Within. And that's what the Dreaming Room does. It awakens the entrepreneur within. So participants of the Dreaming Room gets the unique opportunity to create and develop extraordinary businesses. And I am proud to announce that I am Connecticut's first person who is licensed to administrate the Dreaming Room here in Connecticut and adjoining states and cities. So give me a call, 860-355-9838, or send me an email at daphne@clarkhudson.com. And let's talk about how we can get you into the Dreaming Room. I also want to remind my listeners to let me know, for those of you who are interested in donating to the work that we do here on the A New Day show, to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs. Leave us a message on the comments part of the website for the show, and we will tell you how you can do that, because you all know that everything you do, we do, costs some money. And if there's a way that you want to donate to what we are doing here, we want to tell you how to do that. I also want to remind you that I am open for business, because I am an empowerment specialist and personal development coach. I coach everyone from landscaper to announcer, you know, to chefs, to doctors, to clergy, you name it. I can work with you to empower you, and I'm open for business. And I also want to let you know that you can buy gift certificates for loved ones for the holidays that's coming up. What better gift to give than to give the gift of empowerment to someone's life? As Keisha said before she closed out, that she does not only teach people to fish. She gives them some of the spices as well. You know, that you can create and be creative with whatever you're doing, with what you learn. And that's the same thing here with me as an empowerment specialist. I work with my clients and help them to really harness and tap into what their true calling and purpose is in life, and how to embrace that and take their focus and their emphasis off of what someone else is doing, and just come into what they are doing and focus on that, because all we need to do is to compete with our past performances instead of competing with the next person and individual, because each of us, we are so uniquely talented that whatever we are set out to do, if we do that with authenticity, then we won't have to worry about the competition. Because when we focus on being the best we that we can be, then we are way ahead of the competition, because we are doing the best us that we can do. But I think where we experience shortcomings is when we begin to concentrate on other individuals instead of concentrating on what we need to do to better ourselves and to better the services or products that we give. So, as I often say to my clients, your competition is not your problem. You are your own problem. And you just need to stop tripping over your own self and get out of your way of progress and just keep building on your uniqueness, your talents, and be authentic. You know, craft your story and tell your story. Weave your story into everything that you do. So, I want to again play another song while we are waiting here, and I'm hoping that we will get him to call in. Not sure what happened, but these things happen, so enjoy.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Righteousness for me, it stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood, your blood. Your blood speaks in better words than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, it stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Well, I can't wash away our sin. Well, I can't make us whole again. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Good morning, JR.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. I just, it is so challenging when we are on different time zone and get mixed up. So luckily, I had some music uploaded, so I began filling in with music. So let's, without any further delay, we only have half an hour remaining. So we will do the best that we can with what we have. So why don't you just use the first couple of minutes to please introduce yourself to the listeners, and then we are going to go in and talk about some of your insight around the 21st century financing and how it impacts entrepreneurship.
Okay. Well, first of all, my apologies. It was a time zone issue. I guess I put down the wrong hour. My schedule told me that I was 30 minutes away. So, you know, when you get to be my age, these kind of things happen more often than they did 30 years ago. Anyway, I've been in the business of helping people manage their budgets, their incomes, their lives financially for almost 40 years. And over that time, I've discovered that a lot of folks have suffered from a disease called debt. Over the last six or seven years, I have committed myself to help people understand the process that got us here, understand what needs to happen to get us out of the mess we're in, and to re-educate America about the principles, the economic principles and financial practices of the founders of this country that made America the great economic power that it is, and that need to be restored. I have a bachelor's degree from Xavier University in Cincinnati in history and political science, so I have a perspective because of that. And I have a master's degree in religious studies from Naropa University and a Buddhist university in Boulder, Colorado, which gives me some additional insights into the spiritual side or the non-material side of the economic equations.
So, JR, where do we begin right now? Because we are, some of us are more than knee-high in the mess, but I know that we can overcome with the commitment. And seeing that an entrepreneur is who I am and the people I'm looking to begin with to educate, empower, and inspire are entrepreneurs. So where you're sitting, where do we begin to recover?
Well, the first thing that folks have to realize is that almost everything that we have been told about how to handle our money, how to prepare for retirement, how to fund our college education for our children, how to deal with our mortgage, almost everything we know about that is wrong. And let me explain that. It's really eye-opening when you recognize this. The people who sell 401ks and IRAs, Roth IRAs, any other kind of retirement plan, the people who sell mortgages, people who sell mutual funds and encourage you to buy stocks and bonds on the auction exchanges like NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and all that kind of stuff. What everybody has to recognize is that they are selling you something.
That's right.
And when they sell you something, they have to mark it up. They have to make a profit. And whether you succeed or not is not relevant to them, other than if nobody succeeded, that nobody would buy their stuff.
So, that's right.
But in fact, nobody is succeeding, but they still get us to buy their stuff.
Yeah, because we are programmed.
We're basically programmed. So so the large organizations, starting with the federal government, state governments, the huge corporations, especially the financial corporations that are stockholder-owned companies, they have convinced America that the way to wealth is to buy their products.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is, that's not what the founders did. It's not what the successful people in the country have done. It's not what they themselves have done.
Are doing. That's right.
Right. So you got people like Dave Ramsey and Suze Orman who are out there preaching their gospel of, you know, get out of debt and then buy a bunch of mutual funds. And
mm-hmm.
and they're wrong because mm-hmm. they're saying get out of debt and then buy something that's going to put you back in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because a debt can be a positive debt. That's where you owe somebody money. Or it can be a negative debt, and that's where you lose money that you used to own
mm-hmm.
to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And look over the last 30 years, and there have been ups and downs and ups and downs, but basically, although the trend has been up with inflation, taxes, fees, and the like, the trend mm-hmm. is actually at 1% or 2% or down.
Mm-hmm.
So the all the statistics about the market goes up at 12, 14% and so on. Not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not true.
You know, JR, just this past evening, I had a meeting with a gentleman because I was born and raised in Jamaica. And when I was growing up in Jamaica, a lot of people in my district never had bank accounts and everything like that. So they sold, they reared their animals and did their farming, got money, and they put their money away different ways. They didn't go to the bank. And there was one other thing that they did in Jamaica called a susu or a partner. But just last night, I learned about a new thing that happens in a certain culture, which I'm going to tell you the culture, and it answered a long lingering question that I had in my mind. How come all this certain culture comes into this country and they are so successful at what they do, beside the fact that they work very hard? How did they secure the funds to do what they do? And I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but if it's a term you know, you will correct me. Do you know about a term called Jung? J-U-N-G-E, I think it's spelled.
No, I don't believe I know the term, but I know the culture.
All right.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Are you talking about the Asian culture? Are you
yes.
thinking? Exactly,
yeah.
Because for a long time, JR, I keep saying, how do we have all these nail spa coming, opening up, and doing so well in business, these restaurants and everything? And just last night, I had this meeting with somebody who wasn't Asian. It just happens that his significant other is Asian. And he shed some light to me around that. So is that something you know about and how it works, stand on that?
Yeah, Daphne, in fact, what they do is exactly what the founding fathers did.
Yep.
Mm. Okay, the first premise or the first principle of financial success is to save money.
Mm-hmm.
It is not to borrow money. It is not to invest. It is not to open up a 401k or an IRA or put your money in the hands of a stranger and hope like the devil that they do better than you would do. They
mm-hmm.
won't, I can assure you. You could look back at history and you'll see that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what this culture believes in is, first of all, save money, and then you support each other. They support
mm-hmm.
each other in their efforts to develop an entrepreneurial business. You find the same thing among the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find the same thing amongst other smaller communities
mm-hmm.
in pockets around the country where
that's right.
where you've got a community of people who have come together to do that. In
mm-hmm.
in Sweden, there was a group that formed a bank
mm-hmm.
on this basic principle.
Mm-hmm.
And that bank has been very, very successful. And it's basically a mutual bank, which brings us to the key or one of the keys to this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that when you buy something from a company that is owned by shareholders, the people who that purchase is designed not to benefit you, but to benefit the shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get a benefit out of it, if you're convinced you're getting a benefit out of it, and in fact you do, then that's fine. The company's happy with that. But that's not why they do it.
That's right.
Okay. On the other hand, there are mutual insurance companies in particular. There are credit unions. Those are the two key factors. They are owned by their members,
mm-hmm,
and by the policyholders. They're not owned by stockholders. So when those companies make a profit, guess who benefits?
The members.
Right, the members and the policy owners
profit and
benefit. Because those companies are founded exclusively to benefit the people who put their money there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to relearn where to put our money first. The first money that you save should be in local credit unions, maybe small local banks that are community-owned banks where the shareholders are all in the community and you may have an opportunity to participate, and in mutual life insurance companies like Mass Mutual, Ohio National Life Insurance Company, Northwestern Mutual, you know, names that you recognize. In fact, Daphne, Northwestern Mutual has just a great television ad they've been running during football games,
mm-hmm,
that talk about how to build your wealth using participating whole life insurance as the fundamental product.
Mm.
It's a product where you put your money in, you never go backwards. You can't possibly lose money. It's not possible.
Mm.
It grows in value every year, guaranteed.
And are they a national company?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because my question is that, you know, a lot of communities across the country, they listen about that insurance and they say, well, it's not in my local area. How do I get access to it? And as I was saying in this meeting I was last night, I think all of us has the responsibility to start in our local area. And if we all do the same thing in each of our areas, before long, the entire country will be re-energized and, as you say, relearn what is the right thing to do.
Right. And these companies are national companies. They have to be, actually, to support what they do for their clients.
Yes.
Although they're all operated in local areas, it's not a franchise exactly,
mm-hmm,
but it's
mm-hmm,
it's a
mm-hmm,
it's they have to be, they have to be certified and authorized in each of the 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm,
there's no national charter for these folks. They actually have 50 separate certifications and agreements, mm-hmm, from 50 separate insurance, mm-hmm, commissioners in each of the states to operate within that state, and then within that they have general agents and distribution systems, mm-hmm, that are within the state, and,
okay,
and they're geographically limited.
Right.
So you still get the personality of a local organization because they're all run by local
the people. The local people here, yes.
Right.
JR, I want to ask you a question. It's not really a question. I want to ask you whether or not you're available for something, because originally we had planned to be an hour on this show, and we lost because of the time zone. But on November the 10th, we are doing a panel of different people from different places. I don't know if you would be available to be one of the panelists on that, so that the wealth of what you didn't get to give on this segment, we could do that.
Yes, I am available. What time would that be, Daphne?
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But I know you are kind of, that's like 7 o'clock your time. So
that would be 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock your time. So the panel is going to run for 2 hours. Whenever you join, we can put you on. If you can join at the beginning, fine. If not, you come in when you can. Because there is such wealth of information that you have. And with the new year coming in, this is one of the reasons that I'm putting that panel together so we as entrepreneurs can take a lead into the new year to help, you know, re-educate each of the communities that we are in. So I'm excited that you have that open. So we need to relearn you encourage people to support your local credit unions and mutual banks.
Mutual insurance companies.
There
used to be mutual banks around which were owned by the depositors. They've all gone by the wayside. I think in all 50 states now, the credit mm-hmm. unions have replaced the mutual bank. So a credit union is in effect a mutual bank. It's owned by the members.
The members,
and
yeah.
A mutual insurance company, such as Ohio National Life and Mass Mutual and Guardian and Northwestern, you know, there are several of them out there. Those companies are owned by the policy owners. So if you buy a policy in that company, in that policy, it's a contract, and in that contract, you have a right to any profits, to your fair share of any profits that come from that business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So policy owners own those companies. They're operated on in each of the 50 states, and within the states, they're operated by franchise type arrangements where the folks who participate with those companies who sell their products are all local people. So mm-hmm. you know they're local folks. So it's a local business selling a product that is produced for everybody in the nation.
Right. So it's like, you know, by the people for the people. It's not everybody benefits equally. It's not like it goes in, the profit is made, and we don't know what happened to us, and it doesn't get any. So it really points back to educating the community and educating ourselves.
Right.
And I heard you mention, I forgot what you had said when you said, I am one of them. And that's what each of us need to be able to say, that we are not only talking the talk, we are walking the walk. And it's one step at a time. So each of us have to understand the importance of knowing that this change begins with me, in me, and if I can begin it in my household, then I can take it out to my neighbor, and before you know it, this community understands what it is all about. So if in the limited time that we have remaining, JR, how, if you would give us a checklist to begin to have this conversation locally, in our little comfort zone where we are, what would this list look like, and how do we begin this conversation?
I think the first thing, Daphne, is to find a local advisor who understands this process. Because, quite honestly, if you go to the internet and try to discover how to create wealth, you remember there are thousands of companies who
mm-hmm.
have the wrong idea.
Yep.
And they're all out there, you know. The fact of the matter is that you need somebody who can guide you through
yes.
this process. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step. The second step is to recognize that buying stuff, products, financial products in particular, is really not investing. It's not saving. They say put save money in your 401k. That's not saving. It's risking your money in a very volatile market that will always be very volatile. It'll never calm down. That's the nature of the market. You need to put your money first and foremost in a place where you control your money. And
mm-hmm.
that the two places you do that best are with your local credit unions and with mutual insurance companies. And in fact, a whole life insurance policy from a mutual insurance company is absolutely the best place to put your money, because it behaves in a very positive way. That's a two-hour discussion all by itself.
Mm, I kind of realize. That's why I said in the minimal time. So, but to piggyback on, you said, JR, that buying something is not saving money. What's your take on buying or investing in real estate?
Well, real estate is also a very risky business. The people who are successful in, and I have many clients who are successful real estate investors, they are the ones who save the money first. There's the myth that, okay, I can go out and I can borrow all the money and buy the real estate and then fix it up and rent it or flip it and make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 3 or 4 years, people who have done that have lost millions and millions of dollars. A good friend of mine built a house up the street from me, $1.2 million appraised value. It's now on the market for $650,000, exact, almost half price.
Wow.
And he's broke. The bank owns the property. It's been foreclosed. So real estate investing is not safe and secure if you are using other people's money.
People's
he
money.
The bank's money. Now, if he had financed that himself and his costs, he could have probably sold it for a lot less money when the time
crashed,
when things were, you know, going to hell in a handbasket.
So
real estate is a good thing. If you go in with a substantial amount of your own money and you actually know what you're doing, you have to know what you're doing in the real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have really a great deal of information and a good education about how to deal with everything relating to the real estate business. But I have a friend who's got about a dozen or so properties in my neighborhood that he's bought over the last 20 years. In every case, he paid cash. Never financed a one of them.
And, you know, it's amazing. It's such affirmation what you're saying, because I myself have gone to a few of those seminars. And they hook you to get you there, and then you got to buy their material, and then they tell you about using other people's money to acquire all these properties. But now, it's listening to you, what you are saying make a lot of sense. And that's why we don't all need to be running to all these seminars, is to find somebody who understands how this system works so you can get the right education and go out there and do it the right way. It might be slower, but it is safer.
Well, let me tell you, you hit on a really big, a really significant point right there, Daphne. The reality is that people in America have been taught and trained to deal with things in bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with your 401k as if it were something that were all by itself, or let's deal with your mortgage as if it were something that were all by itself. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is the our website is Eureconomics. That's a combination of the word Eureka, which is a Greek word which means I found it or I discovered it, and economics.
Mm-hmm.
When we're dealing with people and with individuals and with families, the first thing I impress on them is that they have, and you have, everybody has their own personal economy. The Keynesian folks who are running the government and the big businesses see you and me as consumers. Our only function in the economy is to spend our money and to spend it with them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no idea of saving money in Keynesian philosophy. Saving is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the paradox of frugality. If we're all frugal, then the Keynesian model falls apart, because we don't need the government. We don't need the investment companies. We don't need the finance companies. We don't need the mortgage companies. So their whole model falls apart. But our model, our individual personal economy, which you can learn about in great detail at our website, eureconomics.com, that will empower you to do the entrepreneurial things you want to do in life, to pay for the kids' college education, to take care of your retirement under the radar of the IRS, tax-free, I mean, it's just an empowering approach to how to deal with money and personal economics.
Because that's
what people have to recognize, is that they in fact have an economy, and it's theirs, and they got to take control of it. They got to understand it. They got to grab it, get a hold of it, get control of it, and get the heck out of debt and out from under the thumb of the IRS, out from under the thumb of the federal government, the state governments, the big businesses and corporations, because those guys employ a lot of people. They produce a lot of stuff. But the fact of the matter is they do it for their shareholders, not for the people who are buying their products.
That's right. That's right. We have very limited amount of time remaining, JR. I want you to first let me say thank you for coming on and spending the time, and also for agreeing to be part of the panel. And I know people will be so educated from the input that you'll bring to that panel. But I am sure that we will be having you back again to talk about something else outside of the panel, because you are such a wealth of information. But please give out your contact information for those people who probably want to contact you before the panel comes up, JR.
Okay. They can find us at eurekonomics.com. It's EurekonomiCS.com. That's our trademarked name. And they can always reach me by sending emails to jr@eurekonomics.com. We've got two books out there. One is on the website. That's the Money for Life book. Money Now, Money Later, Money for Life. If you go to the website, go to shop, and that'll take you to the book. We also have a book about the principles, the economic principles and financial practices of the founders, called The Way to Wealth by Benjamin Franklin, on which we've written a commentary for the 21st century, and you can find that at createspace.com, createspace.com. We also have a blog, which you can find by going by links off of the main website, And for those who might be in the business, we've written 40 or 50 articles for a national publication called Producers Web, which is an online publication for insurance and financial advisors, producersweb.com. So there's lots of ways you can find. And you just Google Jeffrey Reeves, and you'll find me all over the place.
And I, you know, when we connected on LinkedIn, or I forget where first, what attracted me was the first thing I saw, UB the bank, and I said, this to be interesting. So, and, you know, I know we tried for quite some time, because you're such a busy gentleman, to get you on. So today when I noticed we had a mix-up with the time, I'm saying, please, let it just be a conflict of time zone. But I'm glad we covered such rich information in the short time we have. And I look forward to our many conversations down the road, JR. And thank you again for your commitment to bringing insight to us who have been walking around with a blindfold over our eyes. And I know for some people it's, we've been wearing the blindfold for a long time, but here is an opportunity for us to remove it and begin to see and to take action to this wealth of information that you bring to us.
Thank you for all the kind words. And is your theme song Down the Way Where the Nights Are Gay?
I have to find that. You better send the link to me if you have it. Gerard, I thank you so much. We are out of time, and I look forward to spending time with you again on November 10th.
Thank you, Daphne. I look forward to it also.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Breaking of day. It's death.